There is a new set of hiking and biking trails that is less than a mile from where I live, from my apartment door. They opened up officially last December, and I've been noticing the sign and the parking area by Route 9 for months. It's the Graphite Range Community Forest, which some of you, I think, have visited already. I've finally gotten out there myself a couple of times now. I saw my first Trillium of the Spring there the other day. Yay. Red Trillium, also known as Wake Robin or Stinky Benjamin. It's a flower that's pollinated by flies rather than bees, so I guess the stink is helpful. Trillium is one of the flowers that I mark the time of the year by. It's one of the flowers I mark the seasons of my life by. And I was grateful to see so many of those red trillium in the woods. As we walked up this path that follows this stream that cascades down this little ravine, it's not really a falls, really, but still you get that sound of rushing water, which I don't know about you, but it just soothes me. I stop and I look at the ravine and watch the water flowing down, listen to that stream, and I think my heart rate slows. As you walk on these paths into the woods, every now and then you find the remains of concrete and stone walls in the woods, trees and moss growing all around them. These are the remains of a graphite mining operation that once employed 50 to 100 people about 100 years ago. They were working an open pit graphite mine. I tried to imagine how different it must have looked when the mine was in operation and what it looks like now. And what a wonder it is even just to try to imagine what that scene would have looked like and to appreciate how much nature has just taken it over and made it just part of the landscape. My wife and I were walking along. My wife is good at spotting the wildflowers. She knows all their names. I can't hold on to all of them. We also wondered at the slaloming mountain bike trails that are there and watching the few bikers go along them and wondered at the fun it looked like they were having as they weaved their way down the slope and how their experience might be a little different when they were pedaling hard to make their way up the slope. It's a fascinating place where all kinds of things are coming together. There's a famous book on mindfulness called Wherever You Go, There You Are. And I want to take that phrase in a slightly different direction than the author of that book does, and just notice that you cannot help but be somewhere. We are always in relationship with place, and that relationship participates in shaping us, and sometimes even our relationship with that place shapes and changes the place. We are all in a relationship with a place. What do you want that relationship to be like? The poet Wendell Berry is very concerned that we be paying attention to where we are, where we find ourselves. And there's a poem of his that acknowledges that the world is in crisis and it's hard to have hope. But then he goes on to try to explore how, if we pay attention with our relationship with place, with the ground under our feet, we might find a resource for hope right under our feet. Berry says this, because we have not made our lives to fit our places, the forests are ruined, the fields eroded, the streams polluted, the mountains overturned. Hope then to belong to your place by your own knowledge of what it is that no other place is, and by your caring for it as you care for no other place. This place that you belong to, though it is not yours, for it was from the beginning and will be to the end, belong to your place by the knowledge of the others who are your neighbors in it. The old man sick and poor who comes like a heron to fish in the creek, and the fish in the creek, and the heron who manlike fishes for the fish in the creek, and the birds who sing in the trees in the silence of the fisherman and the heron, and the trees that keep the land they stand upon as we too must keep it or die. What knowledge do you have of your place? Dan Berggren, one of the members of this congregation, is very conscious about place, intentional about being an Adirondack folk singer. I figure he thinks about place and his relationship with place more than most of us. So I asked him what came to mind for him when he thought about his interdependence with place. And this is what he said to me. I grew up on a dirt road 3 miles from town in a house built by my great-grandfather. There were barns, gardens, fields, and the rest was wilderness. At the age of 13, I helped my parents plant pine trees, and my mother told me how she helped her dad do the same 40 years before. The sound of those pines is still with me, giving me solace. Wandering this land, I always felt safe, swimming in the brook, climbing the nearby mountains, discovering relics of another time, whether an abandoned foundation or an ancient cemetery. All of this conditioned me to take things slow, to search for roots and to listen for clues, for voices, both human and natural. I fell in love with natural sounds, birds in the barnyard, the orchard and the woods, the river, especially in spring, and the wind playing the trees. My uncle helped me recognize the difference between the wind moving a poplar or a maple, a spruce or a pine. One winter night, when it was 30 below, I took a walk before bed and heard a loud snap, a crack that echoed from the valley to our house. I wondered if a hunter was jacking deer and called my mother out to come and listen. After a few minutes, we heard the loud crack again, and my mother said, "Oh, that's only the sap freezing in the pines." Dan is rooted in place. And the place where he is rooted, he has knowledge of that place and what it is that no other place is. He cares for it as he cares for no other place. What I hear in Dan's words is how much he belongs to that place rather than that place belonging to him. The writer Carol Lee Flinders writes about a culture of belonging. She thinks about this culture of belonging in opposition to another way of thinking. She's struck by how radically different two states of mind are. The one in which we look out across a forest or valley and say to ourselves, "This is where I belong." And the other, so intrinsic to Western civilization, in which we hear ourselves say, "This belongs to me." Recognizing our interdependence with place isn't about ownership of that place. Our interdependence with place is more about belonging to and in a place. Thinking about place always makes me think about that Shaker song that I'm sure many of us know well. "'Tis a gift to be simple, 'tis a gift to be free, 'Tis a gift to come down where we ought to be. And when we find ourselves in the place just right, 'twill be in the valley of love and delight. It's a gift to be where we ought to be, and there is a place just right for us. And I admit that most of the time when I hear those words, I'm a little skeptical. Is there really a place just right? A place where I ought to be? Who are you to tell me where I ought to be? There's that part of me that says that. But since I have to be someplace, well, let's begin by exploring. Is this place just right? I wonder if the just rightness of a place is something that emerges when we give ourselves to a place, when we let ourselves belong to a place. If we let ourselves belong to a place, may we find resources for hope right under our feet? The poet and writer Bell Hooks grew up in Kentucky, first in the country and then a move to town, which she found very traumatic. For a long time, she left Kentucky and lived elsewhere, though she would return regularly to visit her parents. She did not live there anymore, but it was still home. It was still the place that had shaped her. She could never quite escape the fact that she was from Kentucky. Her experience as a child in rural Kentucky was something that she kept going back to again and again as a resource for resilience, for peace, and for insight and wisdom. Eventually, the sense of belonging to Kentucky was so strong she couldn't deny it anymore, and she moved back. Despite having had a dysfunctional family life growing up, it was the rural natural spaces in Kentucky and her elders and grandparents in rural Kentucky who had made a way of life there that were always for her a source of resilience. Back in that landscape, she finds the resources that that place gives to her from right under her feet. Here's a reflection from her. Giddy with delight as I walk in the wet mud in the back of my hill house, I feel as ecstatic on this Kentucky ground as I felt as a child, innocently confident that the earth was a gigantic playground. Surrounded by trees, climbing trees was part of childhood fun. Stumbling down the hill, I am reminded of that moment in childhood when our brother convinced me and my younger sister to lie down and curl our bodies so that, like a ball, he could roll us down the hill. My younger sister carries the scars from that adventure to this day. I sit at the top of the hill as I once did as a child and give thanks that this powerful experience of the healing power of nature is not just nostalgic and sentimental reflections on the past. In my present, I experience this healing power once again. What is your place of belonging? Consider your longing and what that might be telling you about where your belonging is. There are places that can help you build a way of being that moves in the direction of hope and wholeness. As I learn more about the place where I am, the difficult history as well as the sweet, the shape of the land and where to find the wildflowers, I feel more connected and more whole. What is a place for you that even if you don't happen to be there in the moment, that your memory is able to conjure for you, enabling you to return to a mode of being that you were able to cultivate in that place, a mode of being that felt whole and strong to you? Place shapes us. We are interdependent with place. And I'm thinking as we move this congregation from the place of North Broadway to the place of Loudoun Road, quite different places to be interdependent with. that we be mindful of our interdependence with place and how that place shapes us, how much we're willing to let the place shape us, and what shaping we hope to make of that place. May we shape our places with care and tend with care to the way our places shape us. Wendell Berry says, "Found your hope then on the ground under your feet. Your hope of heaven, let it rest on the ground underfoot. Be lighted by the light that falls freely upon it after the darkness of the nights and the darkness of our ignorance and madness. Let it be lighted also by the light that is within you, which is the light of imagination. By it, you see the likeness of people in other places to yourself in your place. It lights invariably the need for care towards other people, other creatures, in other places, as you would ask them to care toward your place and you." May we be mindful of the place of interdependence. Amen.